This podcast is a proud member of the Lamb Podcasting Network. Find the network at largeassmovieblogs.com.
Welcome to the Really Awful Movies podcast, a celebration of low-budget cinema.
The sleep of reason gives birth to monsters.
Hi, I'm Chris, and along with Jeff, we're bringing you the very best and worst of horror, sci-fi, action, exploitation, kung fu, and women in prison movies from the 1970s to today. Be sure and check out reallyawfulmovies.com for reviews, interviews, lists, and terrific movie giveaways. From our downtown Toronto headquarters, it's a special edition of the Really Awful Movies podcast, episode 56C, a chat with Jack Davis, CEO and founder of Crypt TV from Los Angeles, California.
Talking with Jack Davis, who's the CEO and founder of Crypt TV. Now, we are honored to be a part of Crypt TV, but for our listeners, Jack, why don't you explain a bit of what Crypt TV is and what it's all about?
First, Jeff and Chris, thank you guys so much for having me. Really excited to be on the podcast. You know, as they say, long time listener, first time caller, right?
Yeah.
Crypt TV is an original for digital genre network that makes sci-fi, paranormal, horror, short videos. We release them through Facebook, and we try and use that as a way to grow shows, grow content, and maybe turn into something bigger. We like working with young filmmakers, but more than anything, we are a genre brand that creates something with specific people in mind, which is we want to make content for someone. We want to make content for people who feel a little bit different, for people who maybe love to see a slasher or a scare. People who feel like either their interests are generally less accepted, they have trouble finding great digital content for them. We want to fill that void and make great dark and edgy genre content while creating a Crypt family around that idea.
Nice. You're like a genre incubator. It sounds like a B-movie right there, the incubator.
Yeah, the incubator. That's actually our next project. Well, come on.
So, how long has Crypt TV been in existence?
Well, you know, we're a baby. We only launched April 15th. So, we haven't even yet been up 6 months, but it's been great to see the fans and the community kind of rally around in such a short period of time. Actually, I think while I'm on this podcast, we passed 100,000 likes on our main channel, which is our Facebook.
Awesome.
We're at 99,857. So we'll probably pass 100,000 during this call. So we've only been around since April 15th, so we're getting some traction. Like I said, Facebook's currently our main channel. But we want to build out our website, build out our YouTube, build out everything as time goes.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we love about Crypt TV and which makes us really proud of being part of the network and the family is the hashtag Weird Is Good. I consider myself weird. I don't know about you, Chris. You consider yourself a bit weird?
I guess so.
You are rather weird, I would say. Can you expand on that a bit more? I know you talked a bit about it, but what does Weird Is Good mean to you and also to Crypt TV?
So Weird Is Good is really the foundational principle of Crypt TV in terms of, you know, we're making lots of different content, and we love our shows, we love women's horror, we love a little different, we love making little fun social videos, we love all of it, but again, we want to make content for someone in mind, And Weird is Good is the guiding principle for basically what we want this brand to be, and then thus kind of how we think in our heads when we're making content, which is Weird is Good, Weird is Good. What does that mean to us? It means that if you have been, you know, called a freak before, if you're an outcast, if you think that things that interest you, you may have even made fun of before or been told that you shouldn't like those things, then you're at home here in the Chris family because Weird is Good. All the things that make you different, all the things that make you pushed out by some people, all the things that you think you may want to hide about yourself, be it something about you, something that's happened to you, your interests, they're welcome here because Weird is Good. Mm-hmm. All the things that society tells you is wrong is something we embrace and accept. And we like weird movies, we like weird shows, we like weird stories. But more than anything, what Weird is Good means is at Crypt TV, you are in a home that's going to celebrate all those elements of you as an individual, be it yourself or your interests, that people have previously shunned. We're going to celebrate that here because Weird is Good.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, as you said before, I mean, you know, what society may deem weird is oftentimes what makes the individual unique, interesting, worthwhile. And so that's a philosophy that we embrace wholeheartedly.
We do too, and that's why you guys are perfect members of the Crypt family, and that's just a guiding principle for us in everything we do. Mm-hmm. We don't, we don't want to make, all due respect to the BuzzFeeds of the world, we don't want to make that type of stuff. We want to celebrate the things that are a little less mainstream, that are a little less commonly accepted.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, ostensibly, when I first came across Crypt TV, and of course with the name Crypt TV, you think, okay, this is about horror, but it's really not just horror. There's other stuff that you highlight as well. Tattoo enthusiasts, for example.
Yeah, I mean, I think that kind of goes into who Weird is Good is for. What mm-hmm. we've kind of seen early and what we want to grow to is who are the people who, we're proud. I mean, we're proud to call everyone part of our family, but who is this really for? You know, if you believe in ghosts, if you believe in conspiracy theories, which I do, mm-hmm. if you have tattoos and piercings, if you like horror and horror movies, it's obviously a part of it. If you have something different about yourself that you want to showcase, so it's for conspiracy theories, conspiracy loons, tattoo and piercing freaks, horror and gore lovers. Mm-hmm. It's for kind of everyone who fits under that idea. Mm-hmm. So, basically turning all that on its head, that if you're a tattoo and, piercing freak, we don't think you're a freak, you're welcome here. If you're a conspiracy loon and you're a believer in ghosts and paranormal, we like that here. You're a horror lover who loves to see flash and gore, we love that here.
Without getting into specifics, I was wondering about the breakdown of ages. Who's coming to your sites?
We see mainly 18 to 35 right now. Again, in the whole spirit of Weird is Good is that we're welcoming everyone. Obviously the content is on the internet. We're mainly releasing through Facebook and trying to go there first. So just the nature of making digital content, Anytime it's going to push it to a younger audience. We make content more with someone in mind, which is that Weird is Good mindset versus an age in mind. But we have seen that 18 to 35 and a little more 18 to 24 within that group seems to be most of our audience at the moment.
And what is the Eli Roth connection to Crypt TV?
So Eli is the co-founder of Crypt TV along with me, mm-hmm. and he's someone who really shares in our message, and also someone who helps our young filmmakers develop and incubate IP. Crypt TV is really for two groups of people. It is for the Weird is Good, like we've been able to talk about so far, and it's for young aspiring filmmakers. Obviously, filmmakers should kind of want to create that type of content. But, we want to help develop IP. We want to take these shows that you see released on our channel, like One Minute Horror, A Little Different, like Drug Deals, like Real Scared, and grow them into something more. And when, you get someone like Eli Roth, who's got a wide release movie coming out December 25th,
you've
got Knock Knock, October. He obviously has had so much success with Hostel and Cabin Fever and everything. He is a action partner. He works with our filmmakers, gives them notes. And when it comes to us trying to really grow a show and grow it through our community and maybe grow it past digital, he's obviously absolutely paramount in that. And it's really helpful in thinking, okay, can we create a great show on Crypt TV, build that fan base, and maybe take it elsewhere in terms of growing it past just the internet?
And that's also another reason why we feel right at home in Crypt TV, because our mandate is basically, well, we call ourselves a celebration of low-budget cinema, but our mandate is also to seek out and to celebrate these independent filmmakers that are sort of working outside the system, with working with limited means, but coming up with incredibly creative concepts and ideas. And we like nothing better than to shine a spotlight on indie filmmakers, particularly genre filmmakers. But yeah, I mean, that's why I think
we're simpatico. Yeah.
That's the exact word I was going to say. We're simpatico with Crypt TV.
Again, most of the filmmakers we're working with are exactly those types of filmmakers, and what we want to do is create an outlet for them, because kind of something that, you know, me and Eli noticed together, and, you know, Eli is so insightful, and has obviously made it to, you know, some of the highest heights you can in Hollywood, but the way this guy made it was, and still to this day, is, you know, his movies, you know, he started with Cabin Fever, something independently financed, super low budget. He had to kind of, you know, just, you know, work for it and take it to Toronto and try and get it sold. And, you know, even Green Inferno, which is, you know, coming out September 25th, Green Inferno had so much of a, you know, hell of a time, yep. You know, when the release got delayed and it was taken out of the road and it was, you know, pushed around. Like, he's seen the trials and tribulations a young filmmaker has to go through. I mean, he literally lived it. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's kind of creating an education process for these filmmakers too, which is like, hey, don't look at, you know, making something digital or short form, like, you know, we do on Crypt TV, as something negative. This could actually be the most effective way for you to tell a little bit of your story that can grow into something more. And you can, you know, you can do it, obviously, a little less budget when it's for the internet and when it could only be a few minutes long, and we can work, have you work with Eli and grow, and this is the best way for indie filmmakers to showcase their work, not feel limited in the story they're telling, and build that fan base around their work.
And the one thing about Eli, I mean, he, you know, talk about passion for the genre. I mean, the guy, you know, I remember, I mean, I was there in Toronto at the Midnight Madness screening for Cabin Fever, you know, when he was basically discovered.
That's awesome.
And I also remember,
so cool.
Yeah, and I remember reading in Rue Morgue magazine, and they were interviewing Eli, and this is, you know, basically when the buzz was just building for Cabin Fever, and he was just, you know, throwing out all these, you know, references to all these amazing Italian cannibal films, of course, which now the Green Inferno is going to be paying homage to, and I'm reading it going, man, this guy is a real deal. Like, this is a horror filmmaker who loves horror, you know? And so so having come from those roots, is being a fan, being a weirdo, but it's not in a pejorative term, do you know what I mean? Like, I was saying that in a good way. And that's the other thing, too. Like, we got to take back the word weirdo, you know what I mean?
And we love cannibals. We love bamboo sticks to the eye. Like, the cannibal genre is just excellent. Can't wait for this movie.
No, we can't wait for Green Inferno. But, yeah, I mean, you know, for somebody to actually shepherd, you know, young talent, I mean, who could be better than somebody like Eli, who basically, to quote another Torontonian, you know, Drake, you know, started from the bottom, now he's here, you know?
All the talent's coming out of Toronto, man. But I totally agree, and I think, you know, since Eli lived it, and like you said, you know, when he had Captain Fever, that was like 2002, he was probably a kid. You know, now we live in an age where you can get such great insights, and for us, and we're able to know who's watching our content, so we can say to a filmmaker, here's where people are starting to view at this point in time, people are commenting, if people are clicking out of the piece and not watching its completion, this is where they're doing that. You know, here's what the comments say, here's the age demographic breakdown for your specific show. So we can give people sort of the, you know, nature and nurture of someone like Eli who's been through it all, who has, you know, years of wisdom, with the fact that since you're releasing through our platform, we're going to actually be able to tell you really interesting quantitative insight that potentially could help you understand what's working and not working with audiences.
Mm-hmm. Now, besides the original digital content you guys are producing, then you also have the Crypt family, and that's us, podcasters, YouTubers, bloggers, etc., and the family is growing all the time. How do we fit into the mandate of Crypt TV?
I mean, for me, the way the Crypt family fits the mandate of the TV is growing that message of weird is good, because you guys have it on your podcast. You know, some of our YouTube channels we work with that we love, like Bloodbath and Neon, have it. Some of our websites, like Leather Corpse, have it. I don't want to, you know, leave people out because there's so many to name, but I think the mandate comes from the fact that we all kind of have the same world. You know what I mean? We all have the same ethos of let's create great work and celebrate something that's a little less mainstream, that's a little off kilter. I mean, I think the way you said it, when you said let's take back the word weird, is perfect. That's where it fits. That's just, that was so well put. Because, you know, let's all do that together. A sort of a rising tide raises all boats, where if we join as a Crypt family, we can help promote each other's work and get the message out there, do collaborations like this one we're on in this podcast right now.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the practical sense of helping each other and, you know, putting out that message and understanding we're all on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, even deeper than the practical sense is the message of Crypt family, which is let's be the ones who go out there and drive this voice about weird is good. That we're all behind weird is good. We're all behind weird is good. Let's be the group that kind of mobilizes and drives it, because we want to make this message heard. And the thing is, the reason we want this message to reach people is because, you know, it's something that it helps someone. You know, we really think that. You know, when we're putting out our shows, like, you know, Permanent, where we're, you know, showcasing the beauty in tattoos,
mm-hmm.
we want someone who maybe feels ashamed of their tattoos, or someone whose parents didn't approve it, to know, like, look, we think this is beautiful, and we're celebrating it. In our show, Real Scares, there's talk of the scariest moment in someone's life. We're trying to give people a cathartic release for these, you know, just, you know, earth-shattering experiences, and show that, well, these things happen to people, you can put it out there in a beautiful way.
Mm-hmm.
So for us, it's just, you know, that as a group, as Crypt family, mobilizing and letting people know weird is good and creating this movement to really put a positive message out there that, to the world, and create this family.
That is some weird, wild stuff.
No? You're really weird.
There he goes. One of God's own prototypes. A high-powered mutant of some kind never even considered for mass production. Too weird to live, and too rare to die.
Mm-hmm. And it's true, because under this umbrella of weird is good, I mean, you know, it's all sorts, because, I mean, for example, yeah, I'm a tattoo enthusiast. I have, you know, I've stopped counting how many tattoos I have, but I personally, even though I love horror movies, I don't believe in ghosts. However, I know I have friends that do, and you know what? It's all good. You know what I mean? It's
exactly.
You know, I personally am a bit of a conspiracy theorist. I know Chris is not, right?
Yeah. I am ink free. Jeff has Vincent Price, Frankenstein all over his.
Bela Lugosi.
I work for a Catholic teachers union. There you go. We come in all stripes, right?
Exactly, and that's why I think Crypt TV and Crypt Family is not just limited to horror. It's about kind of all these differences. Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, you know, one way in which you are different might be different in the way, you know, Jeff can be different, might be different in the way I'm different. But it's about celebrating those differences,
mm-hmm.
and kind of banding together for them. You know, which is, I, for example, will never have a tattoo. I am probably one of the least pain tolerant people you're going to meet. I would really probably annoy a tattoo artist if I'm squirming. But it doesn't mean that I don't love and want to celebrate our shows like Permanent and, you know, tattoos. So it's that overarching idea is so important.
Mm-hmm. And ultimately, that's the thing. I mean, all our differences.
Are you going to say unite us?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
No,
I was going to
argue with you about that. No.
No, I was going to say the fact that we're all different. The fact we all have things that are somewhat, you know, unconventional is what unites us. It's our mm-hmm. commonality, and that's how we all band together as a family, as a group. And that's what Crypt TV is.
100%. 100%. That's what Crypt Family is all about.
And do you have any teasers? Do you have anything in the hopper you could share with us that's maybe coming out Halloween or Christmas?
It's my pleasure to share something exclusive with you guys, because as you know, next month is October.
That's our favorite month of the year.
That's got to be the biggest month. Mm-hmm. And for us, you know, as we grow, we're about to pass 100,000 fans, and, you know, we're excited for Grand Inferno September 25th. You know, once Grand Inferno's over and everyone's got to go see the best movie, but after that passes, you know, what we want to do is just give the fans so much amazing content in October, grow the message together that we talk about, but just kind of spoil people with all the content. We're going to be having guest directors from the world of horror, mm-hmm. who you may know, coming in and making things based on fan suggestions in real time. We have insane shorts. We have this one short, Chainsaw, that I'm so excited about, which is, you know, we think we're going to create the next great slasher. We have a short about a Halloween store coming to life. We have new series. We have a series about near-death experiences. We have season two of our very popular show, Woman in Horror. So October, we just want every day to be like a kid in a candy store for people coming across Crypt TV.
Just sort of going a little bit back, I mean, we were talking a lot about Crypt TV, but and tell us a bit more about yourself, about Jack Davis, and what was the impetus for you to actually start this baby that's now growing so
much? The impetus for me is two-part. So first off, I'm from Los Angeles, California. I love L.A. I'm like the biggest L.A. homer in the world. And growing up around the movie industry and having the chance to meet and work with Eli, you know, me and Eli are both very passionate about how young filmmakers and how the process of making a marketing content can be improved. It's like, you know, we talked about he went through that process, we see it. And really trying to create a better way for young filmmakers to understand that, look, don't poo-poo on digital. Don't think digital's for all YouTubers. Like, there's a reason these YouTubers have grown such an audience, such an acclaim. Digital's a very powerful resource. We want to give you the best of that resource while also having you make something you're creatively proud of and a narrative story. Me and him are both fans of the genre. You know, and more in the line of dark, psychological, twisted thrillers than non-scripted content. He's obviously a horror icon.
Right.
But we both felt like, you know what, this genre is underrepresented on digital. So the first part, I think, of, you know, where I came from that inspired me and worked with Eli was that we think, look, young filmmakers should use more digital tools. We can help incubate IP, intellectual property, and story in a better way, and contribute. We're tired of seeing all these sequels. We can contribute great content and grow it through this manner. And we think the genre deserves something in the digital space. And then in terms of a personal sense for Crypt family, I think I was always fascinated by our most, we seem to hide our most meaningful experiences. You know, we seem to hide, because usually the thing that we're most insecure about or that makes us different is something that is just by the nature of it being such something we're ashamed of, something very meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of wanted to showcase that and wanted to make something more because, you know, yes, we put out a product in a sense in our content, but this is not about just making a product because I don't want people just to consume Crypt TV content. Like, that's all good and well, and of course we want you to, but we need to create something more meaningful, and that's what really excites me. So for me, it was, you know, one of those things of, you know, having, you know, like, you know, the impetus for Real Scares came from the fact that I have had a few moments in my life that were just so earth-shattering, and I always wanted to share them, and it seems like there was no place for people to talk about these deeply meaningful experiences, or that, you know, I'm kind of an open person, and when I have an insecurity about something, or when, you know, there's something that deeply upsets me or bothers me or makes me feel different, I actually want to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
There's no real outlet for that, so kind of having Crypt TV be a place where the most horrifying experiences, the most things that make you different, kind of visceral parts of your personality, let's please create a place where that can be celebrated, that goes in line with the content we're making, and that's also just much more meaningful. Like, yeah, we want to create great content, we want people to enjoy it. You know, we make little silly, you know, top four scenes of 2015 videos too, people love those. But what's much more meaningful than just, you know, making good content is having a message behind it. And so for me, just kind of my experiences and thinking that, you know, as a society in the internet age of Instagram and Facebook that everyone cares so much about putting out an image that's perfect, let's be the ones saying that, you know, on this platform, you can put out an image that's real and get your real experiences across and not just showcase, you know, pretty lights and pretty music and pretty things.
And when you were talking about being open and vulnerable, I mean, I remember a couple days ago you were writing about, I think you were down with, was it a cold or a flu or something? You were a bit under the weather?
Oh, yeah, I was sick last week, and pretty much when I'm sick, I just turn into a shell human being. I am, like, the biggest baby when it comes to being sick, because, I don't know, just the idea of, and that's why, like, I really empathize with people who have, you know, things besides just a cold. And we actually have a series coming out, I think, in November, about dealing with the mental side effects of cancer. It's called Side Effects, and it's basically, the whole series is about people who've recovered from cancer talking about how once you've recovered from cancer, no one really wants to talk about it anymore with you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still like a hugely emotional thing. That's an off-beaten path segue to the fact that I hate being sick because for me, feeling out of control of my body, even in the most basic sense, I just go bonkers.
Well, I was
really a pain in the ass to be around when I'm sick.
Yeah, because Chris and I, believe me, you know, we're sort of hypochondriacs ourselves, right? So
Yeah, and speaking of visceral fears, we've both been mugged in this, one of the cities, the safest cities in North America. Jeff at knife point, myself, you know, beaten down briefly on a street corner. Yeah, like it's there's a lot of stuff to fear. And we're not afraid of that.
Toronto's supposed to be like the safest, like nicest place ever.
Yeah, well, it sort of is, except we just have really bad luck, that's all. There may be, you know, eight incidents of violent crime per year, and we were part of it. You know? So
we feel like we're contributing in some little way.
But, and going back earlier, you were talking about, you know, of course, Eli is more of the gore hound, and you're more into the dark, twisty psychological thriller. You're a big David Fincher fan, am I correct?
The biggest Fincher fan.
Yeah.
I'm just all about the Fincher.
Mm-hmm. So what's your favorite Fincher film?
See, I love when people ask me this, because my favorite Fincher film is someone that's it's Zodiac. Mm. And I think Zodiac is the scariest movie of all time. Mm. Like I don't get scared of movies. You know, I grew up just being inundated with film, so I kind of feel like I've seen everything. And I didn't even watch Zodiac in a theater. I saw it on Netflix alone, and it was still scared me more than I could ever possibly describe. I think just like the tension in that movie, and I love serial killers, and I'm so fascinated by that. And just the telling of the way he told the Zodiac story and brought it to life, and the scene where Jake Gyllenhaal's in the basement, and he's like, this is the Zodiac handwriting, and the projection says, no, that was my handwriting. And he's just stuck in the basement with him. Oh my god, I love that movie.
Mm. I'm a huge Fincher fan myself. I'm really partial to The Game. That movie, that was a, man, talk about a real sort of movie that takes you on a bit of a ride and, you know, well, for lack of a better term, a mindfuck. I mean, that's, you know, that's The Game, you know. That's incredible.
Even Social Network, which is obviously a take on a subject that's, mm-hmm. you know, much more mainstream in terms of creating a Facebook, just like the tone he has in all of his movies, and even just like the way he shoots and the lighting, I love Fincher.
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, The Social Network, I mean, how much more mainstream a concept can you get? But, yeah, he brought something to it. I guess you call it je ne sais quoi, you know, that's only Fitch could bring. I mean, was it the music? I don't know what. But, yeah, it was amazing.
Well, how did you guys feel about Gone Girl?
You know what? I wish you didn't ask me that, because I'm not a big fan of Gone Girl. I got to say, that's the one Fitch film I'm not crazy about. Have you seen Gone Girl?
It's funny to say that, because I don't think I'm as negative as I want to be. But I also was honestly a little underwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of people, I mean, it did really, really well, and a lot of people liked the movie, but I know that a lot of people who read the source material, the book, were not happy with the film. So, I don't know. I mean, that's probably my least favorite. Fincher, obviously The Game, Fight Club, I mean, these mm-hmm. are the ones that really... But I mean, yeah, the guy's unbelievable.
Here's a question that'll never come up on, let's say, Inside the Actor's Studio. Now, we've got to ask, like, who's your favorite serial killer?
This is a great question. So, for me, I have to go, and I'm not just saying this because I just put the Zodiac as my favorite Fincher movie, but I have to go with the Zodiac killer because they legitimately never caught this dude. I mean, like, oh my god, is that the scariest thing? Like, based on, like, the timing of the murders and how old they were, he's probably either dead or, you know, in his 80s at this point, but they never caught this dude. He never came clean at the end. It wasn't a thing like that killer from Kansas who eventually just kind of was like got bored and admitted it was him. Like, they never caught the Zodiac, because he was just killing people in a very specific region, leaving these clues, taunting the police with letters. And the whole thing is, the Zodiac case is one of the most studied serial killers in the world. Everyone sort of knows who he is. And there's different theories about who the actual killer is, which to me is so cool and scary that all these different educated people who study this thing for, you know, years have very strong but entirely different theories about who the killer is.
Yeah, it's much akin to Jack the Ripper.
Yeah. But, you know, in 1970 San Francisco, which is, like, just so close to home.
Yeah, so we're talking about plans for October. Let's talk a little bit beyond. So where do you see Crypt TV 5 years from now?
Well, 5 years from now, I would hope that we have converted several projects. You know, that we, by 5 years from now, are kind of a place known for a few things. From a filmmaker perspective, you know that if you work with Crypt TV, you're going to actually have a real shot of, if you give us a great piece of content, having it turn in to a small feature film or an independently financed feature film or a TV series. whether we can, you know, we're genuinely, we're going to get it as a brand, and that we as a team, as a Crip family, make Weird is Good a catchphrase that holds deep meaning, that holds very deep meaning in 5 years from now. You know, the 14-year-old, 15-year-old, because all I hear is about millennials, right?
Mm-hmm.
People, millennials are on Facebook, millennials. But where do these kids have a place to turn where they feel like their weirdness is celebrated? It's not every 16-year-old girl likes One Direction. It's not every 16-year-old girl was just obsessed with, you know, Justin Bieber and Kim Kardashian. We want to be the place for the 16-year-old who feels a little odd, who aren't mm-hmm. thinking about his first tattoo, who watches horror movies with a few of his friends while everyone else is listening to, you know, the mainstream. That we are a home for all those people, and that when those kids are growing up, they feel like they have a brand that embodies them, that's very strong, and that Crip family is a global thing, and it means something, and that we can actually help disenfranchise or disaffected or people who feel like outcasts, that like, hey, you don't actually feel like such an outcast, because even though you have to deal with your challenges, you have Crip family, you have this online thing you can find that's meaningful to you.
That's an amazing philosophy, and, you know, it's interesting because, we're in Toronto, you're in LA, I mean, these are big cities, lots of different types of people, you know, so if you're a bit different, I mean, it's easier to find a community, but when you have somebody in, you know, middle America, or let's say Northern Ontario, and you're a horror lover or a tattoo enthusiast, it's not the same, you know what I mean? Like, you really are alone.
Exactly.
And yeah, so to have some sort of outlet, some sort of community where you can actually, like, say, whoa, you know what, like, I may be way different than everybody else around me, my neighbors and my friends and whatnot, or I don't have any friends, but hey, I got this family that, you know, this, I feel like I'm somebody, you know, and that's something amazing to sort of build up.
100%, and part of the way I feel that is because all I hear about is how social media is connecting the world, and look at how many followers Kim Kardashian has, and look at all this chatter about the VMAs.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
I keep thinking, like a lot of the instances for Crip TV is I ask people, what's the number one online genre brand? What's the number one online brand for weirdos, you know, quote unquote, or for freaks, right? You know, I know what BuzzFeed is. I know who BuzzFeed's for, right? And I know what, you know, Bro Bible is for. But where is the brand for these people? And no one ever has an answer for me because that doesn't really exist. And us creating that is something I think could be deeply meaningful for those people, like you said, because I have to feel like it's probably extra limiting to be in this world where everything is so hyper-connected and feel like you don't have a place to connect.
And speaking of connections, where can people find you?
So, all of our handles are CrypTV. I recommend you go check out our Facebook, facebook.com/CrypTV. We're focusing our efforts there, but we also do really cool stuff on Snapchat. We do original Snapchat portraits every day. You can add us there on Crip TV. Everything's Crip TV. CrypTV. Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat. We're redoing our website. So CrypTV.com is going to get a facelift. But you can find us anywhere and everywhere that's Crip TV.
Awesome. Well, you know, I got to say once again, we're absolutely honored to be part of the Crip family. To be part representing Weird is Good, hashtag Weird is Good. And thank you so much, Jack, for taking the time to speak with us.
I hope we do this again. It's our equal honor and pleasure to have you part of the Crip family, and let's just keep growing that message. And thank you for having me on your podcast. I'm available anytime for y'all.
Globally, right here.